How many of you have a Bible? Good, good. It's unusual for Catholics, you know. We don't usually get into this stuff. How many of you have read the Bible at least once from cover to cover? Oh, see, this is a Catholic church. This is the Catholic church, yeah. If I was preaching at the Father's house, every hand would go up. Every hand would go up. Well, the Bible, to put it in one way, is our blueprint. It is our guide to living, to being more and more like Christ. Or to put it in modern terms, this is our GPS. This is our GPS. If we want to get to heaven, we got to know what's in here, because it tells us what we need to do, not just believe, but to do. Now, when Catholics have Bible studies, we tend to focus on, well, what was the focus of Luke in this particular story? What kind of a group of people was he speaking to? Or when Moses talked about this or that, what was he trying to convey to the people? When evangelicals have a Bible study, they go like this. Well, if that's what Moses did, we've got to do it. If this is what Jesus did, we've got to do it. It's a template. It's GPS. One person put it this way, B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And it is. It is. If we want to know how to be faithful to the Lord, we can't just look at this as a historical book that's 2,000 years old that we, you know, we go through and say, well, this is the meaning of this. 12 is an important number. 3 is an important number. And that's good to know. But it's more important to know that every story in this book tells us what we should be doing. What we should be doing. So if you listen carefully to the gospel, you are all mentioned in the gospel. You and I, we were mentioned in the gospel. And what was that story? It was about the 72 disciples, incidentally, all lay people, no clergy, all lay people who were sent out by Jesus into the towns to do several things. Number one, to heal. He's saying to these lay people who are his disciples, go two by two, go into a village and heal the sick. Get rid of demons. They also were to bring peace to people. That's number two. Number three, they were told to say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, if this is a blueprint, and it is, we're supposed to be doing that too. We're supposed to be going out two by two into the public square and to meet people and greet them and to heal them, because the power of the Holy Spirit is with us. It's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. And if healing is not taking place through us, then there's a big, big problem that we don't really understand the Word of God and what God wants us to do. Because Jesus himself said before he ascended to the Father, he said, you will do the things that I did and greater things. What did Jesus do? He multiplied loaves and fish. He healed the sick. He raised people from the dead. Anyone here ever raise someone from the dead? Well, it's possible. You know, what's the Catholic approach? I'm not worthy. I don't have a theology degree. So forth and so on. Well, see, none of that matters with Jesus Christ. If Jesus says you go out and you heal people, then you go out and heal people. And every one of us has all sorts of charisms, gifts from the Holy Spirit, one of which is healing. And we're supposed to be figuring out what the healing gifts we have or what gifts we have to practice them and use them so that just like these 72 people who went out, we go out. And when we see people who are sick, if we have the gift of healing, we lay hands on them and heal them. This is not a dead book. Unfortunately, I think in the Catholic Church, we tend to look at it, again, as kind of a historical document. That happened 2,000 years ago. Me heal someone? Me multiply food? Come on. And yet that's what we're told. This is the truth of the gospel. And so we're supposed to take it as our individual and communal template. And what's interesting, too, right off the bat, I already mentioned that the 72 were all lay people, right? Not ordained people. So get that out of your head right away. It's not up to me. It's up to you, first and foremost. But he sent them out two by two. That's brilliant. That's genius. And so we have no excuse. You know, I can't do it alone. Well, don't do it alone. Get somebody who's a partner with you. Moses, we are told, was not a good public speaker. So who did God hook him up with? Aaron, who was a good public speaker. So the two use their own specific gifts to go out and to say to Pharaoh, you got to let the people go. And they worked miracles in order to get the attention of Pharaoh. And again, that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, this is not pie in the sky or let the professionals do it. This is you. This is you. The same God who endowed the 72 disciples with these gifts. And remember, they said, even the demons fled from us because of the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We have to keep remembering that because the power of God is as alive today as it ever was. So that when we read stories like this, they're not just stories, fairy tales, or, oh, that was a golden era. No. We're supposed to be saying, why am I not doing that today? Why am I not going out with another person and proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand? Why am I not bringing peace to the world? Do we need peace in the world? Boy, I tell you. You know, sometimes I just want to go into a cave and lock it off because of the violence and the fear out there, the anger, the anxiety, the depression. It's off the scale. But we have Jesus Christ. We bear him in our words, in our deeds, in our very bodies because of the body of Christ that we receive. We have the authorization of God, and it comes through baptism. Are you all baptized? Okay. You've been authorized, commissioned by God to do what these 72 did. You have the same power that these 72 people had. You're no different whatsoever. So that when we read scripture, it's not, oh, those were wonderful days and wonderful people. No, it's like, okay, I'm supposed to do this. How do I get to that? Who do I link up with? Okay, he's a good friend. You want to go with me? And truly go out on the sidewalks, in neighborhoods, in stores, and encounter people. Now, again, the Catholic default is, well, I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to get anybody mad. Well, that's an excuse. People will get mad if we do it well. Because what happened to Jesus, right? And yet he brought salvation to the world. And he has commissioned us through our baptisms to become another Christ in the world to do what he did. So I suspect somebody here has the gift of healing. Could be spiritual, emotional, physical. And we need all of them today. Some one of you may have the gift of teaching, and you may fight that because, oh, I didn't go to college. It got nothing to do with that. It's talking, teaching about Jesus Christ, the love of God. The God who loves us so much that he sent his only son to become a human being to suffer and die for us. We don't need to learn any new message. We know the message. Again, it's in here. It is as alive today as it ever was. But what are we doing about it? So again, when we hear these scripture readings, I know the tendency is we listen to them and we get some good ideas. I'll give you a good one for a cocktail hour discussion. Okay? I shouldn't do this, but I'll do it. In the Old Testament, when they talk about, Lord, you know my inner being, the actual Hebrew word for inner being is kidneys. Because they believe that that was the seat of the the center of the individual, the kidneys. Now, we don't have in the Bible, I think, put it in the Bible, then put a footnote saying, well, it actually means the heart of the individual. Now, that's a wonderful little cocktail, our discussion points. Did you know that in the Old Testament, when they talk about the inner being, they're actually talking about the person's kidneys? Then you can look up some more about it. But think of the discussion that could ensue from that. We've got to come up with clever ways of encountering people and talking about our faith. And I'm not talking about jumping on people, say you got to believe in Jesus Christ. No, no. But to listen to them, to ask them, what are their wounds? What are their needs? What do they hope for in their lives? And then, if we have a particular charism or gift that can answer it, we use it. Or we say, let me check with my community and see what we have going here, who has a particular gift or whatever. And can you imagine if just one of you were to heal someone, let's say, of cancer? What would happen? Do you think we'd have empty pews here? No. No, because people would be saying, wow, what's going on with those people? They really believe this book, and they're following it. And that's what should be happening. There should be that fervor, that zeal, that excitement. Like a good father, God's saying to us, surprise me. Surprise me. Go out. Try it. Come back and talk about it, like the 72 did. They came back jumping for joy. Oh, Lord, all these things happen. And Jesus said you can even walk on deadly serpents and drink poison and it won't hurt you. He's saying that to you and me right now. He's saying that to us. But do we have the faith as individuals and maybe more importantly as a community to actually pursue that, to talk with other people and say, let's make a pact, because we've already been commissioned, we've been empowered by God to go forth and do this and to do that and all these other wonderful things that Jesus says we can do. So it's all here. I'm not making it up. The more we read it, we're going to learn new things, not just about Moses and David, but we're going to be saying, well, David was an ordinary person. Moses was an ordinary person. I'm an ordinary person, which means that I have access to the power of Jesus Christ, just as all the people who are written about in this Bible had. So sky is the limit with our faith. And I think as Catholics, we have it all. We have it all. We have the sacraments. We have all these wonderful spiritual pathways. We have different types of prayer, etc. We've got it all. But do we really believe that behind it is the power of God? And do we claim that power, which God gives to us, so that, in fact, we can go and do what Jesus wants us to do? And remember, the healing is not the most important thing, but it's kind of the entranceway for the person to ask, why, how did you do that? And then we say, because the kingdom of God is at hand, because it's about Jesus Christ. He wants you. He wants every single person to be with him in heaven. So our job as Christians is to go out and find people, especially the lost who are really out there, have no idea what's going on, but to encounter everybody with the joy of the gospel and to help show them that God has great things in store for them. But to use this power, to use the reality of what's in this book and to do it, that's where the Christian community has to come together and challenge one another, support one another, celebrate with one another, so that just like the 72, when we go out and we come back, we say what happened. And I think great things will happen the more we do it. But the power is there, God is there, the commission is there. It's up to us to say yes or no. It's one or the other. But of course, Jesus wants us to say yes. And again, just as we heard a little bit before, the world's in terrible shape. We have the answer to the horrors of the world. Why do we keep it to ourselves? We can't and be faithful disciples of the Lord. So as you go forth this weekend, think about your own willingness to explore the gifts of God and to go out, to be bold, to be fervent, to be courageous. Think about what you might have as a gift from God, or gifts, whatever they might be. How might you practice them to find out? Who would you talk to about them so that you can identify them, practice them, use them, so that just like these 72 people that went out, we will go out again and again and again and confront the evil of the world by bringing the light of Jesus Christ into the world. That's your commission. That's my commission. We do it together as a community. So again, as you go forth, think about where you are in that challenge, because it really goes to the heart of our Christian faith. If we want to be more than just pew sitters, if we want to be disciples, then we have to actually act on our faith and go forth. So God's done all the hard work. He's given us all the power we need. It's up to us then to say, yes, Lord, I want to partner with you so that I too can go forth and bring the saving word of Jesus Christ to everyone I meet.